This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
We're going to round out our show this afternoon with a guest who's got a pretty cool story. He's found himself at the top of some really transformative media companies. We're talking about Mitch Lowe. He was an early executive at Netflix. He is the former president of Redbox, you know, those DVD rental kiosks at McDonald's and more. And also, more recently, the former CEO of MoviePass. He's got a new book out. It's called Watch and Learn, How I Turned Hollywood Upside Down with Netflix, Redbox, and MoviePass. Mitch joins us via Zoom from Las Vegas, so you'll see him if you're tuning into us on YouTube. Mitch, good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having us. Hey, I want to start with Netflix here, because as you detail in your book, you dropped out of high school, you found yourself in Eastern Europe, and then you became a video guy. You were, in the 90s, an owner of video stores. How did you find yourself talking to Reed Hastings and getting over to Netflix?
Well, owning video stores, you could see the writing on the wall that it wasn't going to last forever. So I was always looking for new revenue streams and new businesses that, could fit into this whole home entertainment. And I had founded a company called NSI. And what we were doing is, this is 1995. We built a menu-driven platform for video stores to build their own websites where they could send a newsletter, they could sell used movies, and they could show their customers their inventory. It all seems like real easy today, but in those days it was hard. And I was exhibiting that service. It was a subscription-based service. I was exhibiting it at a trade show in Las Vegas, and a guy came up to my booth and started asking me all these questions about DVD, which had just been released about 6 months prior. He kept asking me, do you think it would break if it went through the post office? Do you think people would rent on the internet? And that was Mark Randolph, who I was lucky enough, he wrote the foreword to my book and of course, became a great friend and introduced me to Reed.
Hey, sorry. I know, Katie, you were trying to say something, but I'm going to jump in here with another question for Mitch. Okay, so you spend until 2003 at Netflix, and then you see an opportunity after Netflix in the form of DVDs, but not delivered by mail. Mm-hmm. We're talking Redbox here and McDonald's. I think a lot of people would be surprised to, you know, if they didn't follow the industry closely, that it was so closely aligned with McDonald's in the early days.
Yeah. It's you know, at Netflix, as we got that hockey stick experience with the kind of the all-you-can-eat subscription model, what I saw is that there was another consumer in the U.S. who couldn't afford, in fact, didn't want to get committed to a subscription. And they were, you know, really interested in the new releases. They were interested in something very economical. They had tight budgets. And so the DVD vending machine idea was to serve that other, which it's about 40% of U.S. households that are on a budget, you know, need something to fill time. And what we were trying to do is to make it easy and inexpensive to rent the big hits that you normally at that time would pay $4 and $5 for. We came out with a dollar a night pricing.
Hey, Mitch, let's talk a little bit about where Netflix is right now. As you know, the company's stock price has certainly struggled this year. Just in the last minute that we have with you, and then we're going to come back with more. Curious about your thoughts on whether we've hit peak Netflix and it's kind of downhill from here for the company.
Oh, I do not think so. You know, the people and the culture that was built at Netflix will almost always overcome these kinds of challenges. I think the impact on their stock was way overdone. I mean, when you think about it, they really only lost a couple percentage points of their subscribers. Yes, it's true that, you know, their competitors have almost equaled their size in a few short years if you add up Disney Plus and Paramount. But I see Netflix taking that huge next step, which I think is going to be a whole new way for people, especially young people, to consume entertainment. And I would not count them out.
Didn't even hear the word metaverse in there, Katie. So we're going to ask
Hopefully
Mitch.
Hopefully we're going to get to it.
Yeah, we're going to get to that on the other side. I know you got a ton of questions for Mitch, so we're going to get to some of your questions on the other side. Hey, we're talking to Mitch Lowe. You remember him as a former executive at Netflix, former CEO of MoviePass, former president of Redbox. The conversation is going to continue in just a few minutes. He's got a new book, Watch and Learn, How I Turned Hollywood Upside Down with Netflix, Redbox.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And MoviePass. I want to get right back to Mitch Lowe. He's the author of a new book. It's called Watch and Learn, How I Turned Hollywood Upside Down with Netflix, Redbox, and MoviePass. He was an early executive at Netflix. He's the former CEO of MoviePass and former president of Redbox. Okay, Mitch, we've talked about Netflix. We've talked about Redbox. I want to talk MoviePass here because I think a lot of people became familiar with you. You became really a household name if you were covering media, you know, in like 2017, 2018. When MoviePass essentially went viral, and ultimately it created a product that it couldn't actually fulfill to consumers because it got so popular. The idea, of course, was $10 a month for unlimited movies. What, in your opinion, happened with MoviePass? Why did it fail?
Mm-hmm. Well, it failed for a number of reasons. The first one was we ran out of money. What we were trying to do at MoviePass was not unlike what we did at Netflix, not unlike what Spotify did. You got to remember, Spotify lost $1.4 billion before it got to break even. And what we were trying to do is to build a large pool of moviegoers and then slowly but surely get more and more of the average moviegoer who wouldn't go, you know, like four or five times a month, but go two times a month, get a discount on tickets, and monetize those customers, you know, get them to use our card for babysitting and going to Starbucks, where we would earn 7% by helping market small films. So we were on our way, but we needed a longer ramp. And we could have, in hindsight, I see things I could have done a little bit better to slow down kind of how fast this happened. But, you know, we were on a path. We had a great strategy. No one believed that it was doable. No one believed. Remember, when we launched Netflix in September of 99, when we first started the All You Can Eat program, we were terrified that there was no way we could break even on it. And so it wasn't an unusual model. The problem was we didn't have enough time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember covering this. I mean, subscriptions just within a couple of days, you know, went from tens of thousands to 100,000s and then, you know, right. millions of subscribers in a year.
I should have had a waiting list, which, you know, the co-founder of the company always recommended that I do. And in hindsight, you know, that would have been that would have allowed us to slowly but surely grow as we, you know, first figured out kind of all the shortcomings of capacity, but figured out all the other partnerships and alliances that were needed.
Hey, Mitch, Insider reported a few weeks ago that MoviePass is set to relaunch. Are you involved in that at all?
No, I'm not. It is actually the original founders or one of the founders bought the assets of the company, and he launched yesterday with a revised MoviePass offering.
All right. I want to switch gears pretty dramatically and go from MoviePass to the book. It's titled Watch and Learn, How I Turned Hollywood Upside Down with Netflix, Redbox, and MoviePass. Mitch, I want to focus on the learn part of that title. Mm-hmm. What do you hope are the takeaways from this book?
Well, there, you know, in each chapter, I tell stories about what happened, you know, the challenges we faced, you know, myself and the rest of the teams I was working with, and how we resolve things. And you know, there's, you know, I entitled the last chapter about MoviePass is How I Forgot Everything I Ever Learned. And one of the lessons is sometimes you get caught up in growth and you get caught up in kind of a momentum. And it's important to always step back and look at the bigger picture. You know, there's another chapter where I don't ask for enough advice. And I, you know, that's something that I think is super important is that we ask experts and mentors and other smart people for advice as often as possible. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lesson in every chapter. I try to focus on the things that I did wrong, the decisions I made wrong, and you know, I don't try to preach like, you know, just because it didn't work or it did work, that it'll work again. Mm-hmm. But I feel that by telling the story, in some cases, people will go, oh yeah, I've been in that situation. Or if they get in that situation in the future, mm-hmm. it'll at least get them thinking more. And that's what I'm trying to do. I try to do this through storytelling rather than, you know, preaching.
Well, Mitch, in addition to the lessons, you also have insights, predictions for the future of content. And these are the conversations mm-hmm. I love to have. Where do you see the media landscape, the way that we consume media, shifting in the next 5 to 10 years? Tim joked about the metaverse earlier, but mm-hmm. that's a conversation I'd love to have.
Yeah, you know, the metaverse will really play a significant role in entertainment going forward. I think there's a few big macro trends going on, and I talk about this in the book. One of them is our shorter and shorter attention spans. It is hard to sit down for a two-hour movie, and it's even hard to sit through a 30-minute series episode. So I think that the combination of that shorter attention span and all this user-generated content, whether it's on TikTok or YouTube, will kind of, you know, push, you know, studios and Netflix and everything to start to create shorter episodes. You know, still people want, you know, good stories that where they can fall in love and care about the characters, but they want to consume them in more bite-sized chunks. So I see, you know, series still becoming major, and I see them in smaller segments. But I also see a world in where it almost brings in, and I think this will be true for many retail environments. Imagine Netflix in the metaverse, where you can go from wherever you live in the world and attend a red carpet screening of a new series or a new movie and there's avatars of the stars right. and the creators. You can interact with them. Cool. You can shop with them and even run into other consumers. And it's kind of like in the old video store days where you could talk to people in the store.
Yeah. I mean, I remember those days. It wasn't even that long ago. Hey, Mitch Lowe, really appreciate you taking the time and joining us on Bloomberg Business Week. The book is out now. It is called Watch and Learn: How I Turned Hollywood Upside Down with Netflix, Redbox, and MoviePass. A big thanks to Mitch Lowe. He was an early executive at Netflix, former CEO of MoviePass, and former president of Redbox. That's going to do it for Bloomberg Business Week. And this is Bloomberg Radio.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation, and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA, and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global, and Schneider Electric. Visit BloombergLive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.